cook-off. And so there may not be the need for finger foods because we can just eat the teen chili. But then again, there may be a need for finger foods because the teens are cooking chili anyways. All right. So just wanted to mention those. Tell you what, if you have your prayer list tonight, let's go ahead and get those out. And I just have some updates. Certainly wanted to mention this. I apologize. I actually printed off all the prayer lists and stuff, and it dawned on me I have not put our newest missionaries on yet, Brother Shane and Tammy Mallard, our missionaries to Australia. And so if you want to write those in, and then I'll certainly get those added to the prayer list. Of course, on the back there's a list of all of our missionaries. And do make sure you pray for those missionaries throughout the week. Amen. Because they need it as well. So just wanted to mention that. And then also just wanted to ask if we would continue to pray for several folks. Good to see Brother Bob Nugent back there. And continue to pray for him as he's been recovering from surgery. Also wanted to mention if we would continue to pray for Miss Cindy Metzinger. I believe Brother Eric Watson updated our folks last Wednesday night on that. And so she does have a couple of more tests, and then they're going to be getting with the doctors and finding out what to do and how to deal with the kidney, the mass on her kidney and those kind of things. And so continue to pray for them. Also continue to pray for Miss Laura Quinlan. She's healing up from strep throat, and they do think that she possibly had a false negative on the COVID test. But just continue to pray for her, and thankful to hear she's kind of improving a little bit. Also pray for Brother Owen Wood. We've been praying for him, and he called earlier this week, and he is scheduled to have another angiogram on the 15th of next month. And so remember that in prayer. Just really struggling to get blood flow in that leg that he had surgery on. And then also wanted to mention if we would continue to pray for Pastor Emeritus Watson. And he is over at the Hager House and going through physical therapy and things like that. And then he actually had a procedure that was supposed to be scheduled to be done tomorrow that's pushed off until next Tuesday. But do continue to pray for him. And also had another one, Miss Kaylee McDaniel. Good to see her here tonight. She had an MRI today. Miss Beth, would you like to give the update on that? Well, praise the Lord for that. So let's just pray. They'll try to figure out maybe why the levels are off, but we do want to rejoice tonight. There is no tumor. And so glory, hallelujah. So that's a real answer to prayer. So praise the Lord for that. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update or anything like that as we go to the Lord in prayer? Miss Beth? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And they're going to do that down in Florida?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Can you remind me of his name again?
Kevin
what?
Ricky.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else tonight have prayer requests or anything like that? Brother David Griffin. And what did you say? Okay. Okay. Okay, so that's Curtis Minny, M-I-N-N-Y. Okay, M-I-N-N-E-Y. All right, so let's be much in prayer for this man. Anybody else tonight? Brother Gary? All right. It's good to see her here tonight, but she did fall Monday. And so Brother Gary's got to stop tripping her. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Ms. Odie? Okay, so that's all right. Let's pray for Miss Melanie Edler as she's traveling. You people got to quit traveling during revival time. You got to stay here for the revival meeting. We'll be much in prayer for Miss Melanie. Sure miss her being here. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or anything like that? All right, let's go ahead and have our men come tonight. And sure thankful we can pray for one another. Amen. And so let's remember these things tonight. All right, Brother Joe, why don't you pray for us tonight in the offering and the service to follow.
September prayer letter, support letter from the Freemans, our missionaries to Argentina. He said, and the writing of this was on Monday, September 7th. He says, we've been in lockdown for a total of 172 days. And of course, since then, it's jumped up to 195 days. President Fernandez informed the nation that a further 3 weeks of lockdown were necessary, so we continue to wait. The situation is getting very intense. People have lost their patience and are asking, when will this end? Argentina is teetering on the edge of the global top 10 for coronavirus cases and is only one of a handful of countries where the curve on almost all the statistical graphs is skyrocketing. And he talks about that a little bit. I won't get into too much detail. This will be posted later and you can read all that. He says, as we continue to wait for permission to begin public meetings again, we continue to minister mainly through our online services. I preach 3 times a week and Angela continues teaching her Sunday school class as well as her monthly, weekly, and daily ladies' Bible studies. We're grateful to be able to minister to our people in these ways and feel like it has brought all of us much closer as a church family during these trying times. While it is not how we want to meet, we have seen God work through the avenue of online services. When we started this long journey, it was just our church members and some regulars who were attending our services. But as the lockdown went on, we began to see many visitors online. It's amazing to see just how far our services have made it around the world. A missionary friend said it best, just as Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed the multitude, so he has taken a small local outreach and turned it into an international video ministry that is continuing even through the quarantine. We're so thankful for all that God has done during these past months despite the major obstacles. Since our last letter, we were able to baptize 2 as well as start a new members class with 3 new members. God is still working in the face of opposition. Yes, there are trials, obstacles, and the unknown seems so large and looming, but we are so thankful we know who is in charge of all the details of our lives and ministry. Recently, we've had some people in church that are struggling with health problems, loneliness, and some dealing with the loss of loved ones. The restrictions have made things very difficult on so many. Please keep our church in your prayers. He quotes Isaiah 30:18, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. What a wonderful promise from the Word of God. We're often tempted to ask why we have to wait. We found ourselves wondering at times through this process why the Lord has made us wait in order to meet again as a church, and especially why we've had to wait until next year to take a much needed furlough. The obvious answer is that the borders are closed, yet we tend to wonder why he does not remove the restrictions so that we could meet as a church as well as have a furlough this year. God tells us his reasons for waiting in this verse. He wants to be even more gracious and even more merciful than we can imagine. He will exalt himself and bless those who wait on him. So we continue to wait on the Lord to reveal his perfect will as we're busy doing his work here in Argentina. Spring will be starting in a few weeks, and like always, it brings more opportunities to minister. Mother's Day is coming up, plus all the Christmas activities. Only the Lord knows what we will be able to do, so more than ever, we covet your prayers for guidance, wisdom, and good health in these coming months. We ask especially that you remember our camp season in your prayers. Our camps are so important for us in the ministry here in Argentina. Under the current situation, we are uncertain what our camp season will be like. Thank you for holding the ropes for us in prayer and support, Ricky and Angela Freeman. So certainly thankful for that update. The Lord is working, and they're continuing to trust in him. I'm going to ask Brother Seth Wisdom, would you pray for the Freemans as well as our other missionaries?
Turn to hymn number 714, please. 714 is Battle Hymn of the Republic. I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll sing all 4 verses this evening. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible resort. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His God is marching on.
remain standing, please. Put your songbooks down and get your Bibles out.
Sure, appreciate the music tonight and the time in prayer and the missionary update. But looking forward to the message tonight. I want to invite you to the book of Acts tonight and chapter number 10. I do realize that revival is just around the corner, but I've actually been thinking about this message for 2 or 3 weeks now. And if I don't preach this passage and Gentiles get saved, I'm going to go crazy. Amen. So Acts chapter number 10 tonight. And I actually thought about preaching a whole chapter, but decided that's not the way the Lord led. And so you can rejoice in that tonight. We're actually going to only look at about half of it tonight. And so let's begin reading there in verse number 1. The Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, that's not a rock band. All right, that's a Roman centurion band. And he goes on to say, and the Bible goes on to say, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are offered up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And so if you remember the last time we were in the book of Acts, this is where Simon Peter ended up. The guy's on vacation, amen? Hanging out at the beach there with Simon the Tanner. All right, well, evidently you didn't get that. Verse number 7. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, in verse 9, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and bacon and ham, creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. The title of the message tonight is Visions for Change. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Would you help us tonight in the preaching? And God, thank you for being a God who not only changes the hearts of lost man, but can even change the hearts of saved man so that you might use him for your honor and your glory. Help us tonight to see the lesson. And God, give me grace to preach in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now, probably many of us know this passage tonight in Acts chapter 10. We understand that thus far in the book of Acts, the gospel has been given to the Jewish people. However, the door is about to be opened to the Gentile people with this man here, beginning with this man named Cornelius in our text. And of course, we understand tonight, and again, this is all been part of God's plan from the beginning. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ meant in Acts chapter 1:8 when He talked about that they would be witnesses unto Him unto the uttermost part of the earth. And so God, we understand tonight, wants all men to be saved, not just the Jew, but also the Gentile. And praise God for that, because I'm looking at a lot of Gentile people tonight. I realize that there are a host of Old Testament prophecy regarding our Savior and the Gentile people coming to God. And we could certainly look at a host of those, but this is really what I want us to see tonight from this passage. A common theme that we have brought out a lot throughout the book of Acts has been this: God uses people. In fact, we especially saw this there a chapter or so ago in the life of Saul, when he would get saved and then God would begin to work in the life of Ananias and then also Barnabas, and those two men would come alongside Saul to get him where that God wanted him to be. But I believe that the same theme tonight would come to surface once again with Peter, as God is going to use him to go to the house of Cornelius with the gospel, and they are going to be saved, Cornelius and all of his house. In other words, the door to the Gentiles being saved is going to be shoved wide open, and we understand that. But something else that must be pointed out here is that sometimes God has to shape and mold people before He can use them. In fact, I believe such is the case. I believe it certainly could be said of Cornelius with the vision that he receives, but also such is the case, no doubt, with Peter, as God is going to give him a vision as well. So that's the reason that I titled the message tonight, Visions for Change. Though that might sound like a campaign slogan, that's not my intention tonight. Amen. I listened to the debate last night on the radio, and I've had about enough of politics already. I'm good. And so they just ought to put them both in the ring, put boxing gloves on them, and let them slug it out, and the winner take all. Anyways, don't get me started tonight. The visions, when I say visions for change, obviously I'm speaking about the vision that is given to Cornelius and the vision that God would allow Peter to see. And you understand that the intent of each vision is to change these men spiritually. Listen, one needs to be prepared to be saved, but the other needs to realize that all men can be saved, not just the Jews. And so that's the idea tonight. Listen, the lesson for us tonight is to say this: hey, be willing to let God change you. If you need to be saved tonight, listen, God can change your life and you can be saved. But even us tonight who are saved, I'm telling you, we need to open up our heart and let God change us and mold us into somebody that He can use for His honor and His glory. Years ago, when I first got into welding, I also learned how to do industrial maintenance. And this was right out of high school, and so this was probably 20 years or so ago, 25 years. It's been a long time. And I was working in a chemical plant there at the time for a contractor. And then at night, I would go to welding school and was learning how to weld. Well, at that time, one of the men who worked for the same contractor that I did, he was actually working side by side with a maintenance guy that works directly for the chemical plant that we were in. And what happened is this guy that worked for the contractor that I did, he ended up getting hired on by the chemical plant itself. And so he was, you know, you got more money and better benefits and all of that. But at the same time, that meant that there was a position that opened up to fill his spot and to work with this plant mechanic and to learn a trade and things like that. And so I ended up filling the spot. And so it was a real blessing. The guy's name that I worked with was Junior Moulton. And as young and as dumb as I was and as old and cantankerous as he was, it was a wonder we didn't kill each other. And I can remember being just very inexperienced and him taking me in and showing me all of this different machinery that we were going to work on and things like that. And I remember one of the very first jobs that he gave me was to take off some of these parts on this machine, and because of the pressure and all of the things that it was used to do, that there was some broken bolts inside some of the parts. And so my job was to take these parts and to break them down and put them on a drill press. And then I was going to drill the bolts out and then recap the holes and all of these things. But the problem was, is that these were grade 8 bolts. And if you know anything about that, then you understand that those are some of the toughest carbon steel bolts that you can get. And so what I would do, being inexperienced, is I would start drilling these bolts out, and, you know, I'm squirting the fluid on there and smoke is boiling up, and I'm bearing down on that drill press, and that drill, it'd go, you know, that drill bit, it'd start going down in that bolt, and then after a while it stopped cutting, and I'm just sitting there in my stubbornness and inexperience and not knowing what I'm doing, and I'm just bearing down and bearing down and bearing down. And finally, after a little while of laughing, Junior Moulton comes over and goes, "Hey, let me show you something." And he pulled that drill bit out and he took me over to the bench press there and the stone that was spinning on there, and he showed me how to sharpen a drill bit. And I'm telling you, I sharpened that drill bit and I put it back in, son, and it just go right through it. Now here's why I'm telling you all of that. Because much like that drill bit, you and I are the same way. We are a tool that God uses for His honor and His glory. If you're saved tonight, you don't belong to yourself, you belong to Him. Somebody say amen. But when we are not performing to what He desires of us, I'm just telling you, sometimes God has to come along and sharpen us, so to speak, or shape us, or mold us. Well, why? So that He can use us for His honor and His glory in the way that He desires to use us. Anybody get what I'm saying to you tonight? That is why the Scriptures call Him. Listen, that is why the Scriptures liken Him to a refiner's fire. I like that comparison there. You understand, we are the silver, and sometimes God has to purge us and put the heat to us so that He can shape us and mold us. Hey, He is the potter, my friend. You and I are just the clay. And I'm just saying to you that, listen, this is really the same idea that is taking place in our passage tonight. And the purpose and the intent, if you will, of the visions here that are given both to Cornelius and especially to the Apostle Peter. Now, when you and I say things like visions tonight, let's not freak out. Because we understand, as Bible-believing Baptists and understanding the Scriptures and seeing it in light of all of the Word of God as a whole, we understand that these visions are part of what we would say is the transitional phase of the book of Acts. God is doing these things so that His men would understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to go to the Gentile people. He is doing these things. And so therefore, and that's just a reminder tonight that for us as Bible believers, that if someone stands up and start saying things like, I've received a new revelation from God, or I've been getting a vision from God. Let me help you with this tonight. Run the other way. Because that is not from God. You understand? Folks, I'm telling you, we do not need visions today, and here's why. Because we have the inerrant, infallible, preserved, and perfect Word of God for the English-speaking people, and we have the Spirit of God that convicts men and draws men in their need to be saved, and it convicts us as children of God and shapes us into the image of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you need to understand tonight, though, that God is looking to work in us. Whether that be to draw us in our need to be saved, or to shape us into and sharpen us into a workable tool that He can use. And so let's look at our scene tonight and see a couple of things here regarding these two visions. Number one tonight is the reason for the visions. I've got to be honest with you, this is really where you and I are going to spend the majority of our time tonight and just camping out here and looking at these things and seeing this. But you understand that the reason for these visions was this. It was to change the perception of these two men. That's why God is intervening in the way that He does here. I want us to notice again here. Let's read down through here the vision that is given to Cornelius in verses 1 through 8. So it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And notice it says, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel was which spake unto Cornelius was departed, of course he would call two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And so he would send them to Joppa there in verse number 8. I like Peter. You know, he's a fisherman. He's always by the seaside. Amen. Probably out there, you know, catching some speckled trout and redfish. And anyway, that's what I fish for when I'm in the Gulf of Mexico. Amen. That'll help a fellow, right? That's just good for the soul. But we begin to find some things out here. Cornelius was a centurion soldier in the Roman army in verse number 1. But I want you to notice there it says in verse number 2, it obviously begins to express this, that he had great reverence and respect to Jehovah God, the God of the Jews. In fact, it says that he prayed to God always there at the end of the verse. In fact, if you'll go with me to verse number 30, it says this, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And so even there in verse 30, when he's rehearsing what he had saw to Peter in that verse, Cornelius testifies that he was fasting and he was praying when this vision would take place in verses 3 through 6. You know what I wrote down, and you can just take this for what it's worth, but here's what I put down. Cornelius' testimony reminds us that we can't dogmatically say tonight that God doesn't hear the prayer of a lost man. I'm just telling you, I've heard men say things like that, and I want you to understand something tonight. While I understand that God is not going to give ear to the lost who are praying over foolish things in their pride, I do believe tonight that we serve a God that knows all things. And He knows the hearts of men. And my friend, when lost man is genuinely seeking Him, he will do what he can to put them in a place of hearing truth. I'm just telling you, I believe God will do that. And such is the case of Cornelius tonight in this passage. Oh, come on, that just goes right along with Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, listen to this, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And no doubt that is what Cornelius is doing. And so in verses 3 through 6 that we just read there, Cornelius sees this angel appear before him. And I want you to understand tonight that though he calls him Lord in verse number 4, I do believe it was an angel and not the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not told if it was Gabriel or, you know, he's usually the announcing angel, Michael the archangel. We know that those are the two angels named in the Bible. We don't know if this angel was one of them. It's just simply an unnamed angel that appears before Cornelius. But we are told the intention of this angel's appearance in verses 5 and 6. It is for Cornelius to send for the apostle Peter. Well, why is that? It is so Peter can come in and give Cornelius the gospel of Jesus Christ and he can be saved. Now, I want you to catch this. And if you take notes, this would be something good to write down. Because here's what I believe is the purpose behind this vision given to Cornelius. And I want you to catch this. It is to change his perception of God. And let me explain what I mean by that. And I want you to watch this. See, while Cornelius obviously reverenced Jehovah God, he is attempting to appease God as he would the Roman false gods. Through works. Unfortunately, this is also the way the Pharisees of his day were trying to appease Jehovah God, the one true God. But I want you to understand something tonight. That's not how God is pleased. In fact, we just read the verse in Hebrews 11:6. Friends, He's pleased by faith. Even Abraham, the father of the Jews, the Bible bears out that he believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Is anybody getting this tonight? You know what that means? That means this. He was saved by grace through faith. That is how Abraham was saved. And that is how mankind... Listen, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. And so the idea here is this. Is now that Christ has come, being the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, then man is saved by grace through faith in Him and Him alone. And I realize tonight that this is the Wednesday night crowd. Probably could say it like this. I'm preaching to the choir or whatever you want to say. But what you and I have to understand tonight is that Cornelius didn't understand these things. And notice the works that he had in his life in verse number 2. I want you to just consider some of these things. It says that he was a devout man. Devout means pious. And by the way, that's in the good sense of the word. You know, we think of pious, we think of stuck up. Snobs. Oh, get over ourselves, amen. But it can also mean godly. It is the idea of living a life separated from sinfulness and evil that was among the Roman Empire and culture of their day, which they would accept as okay, but Cornelius said that's not okay. Hello? Come on, I think God's people need a renewing of devotion and godliness. He feared God, it says, with all his house there in verse number 2. The word feared, it literally means this. He was scared of God. I appreciated what Brother Joe Decker said at the men's recharge because, we've got these people today that just want to explain away the word, the idea of fearing God in the Scriptures. But you got to understand, so there's something good about fearing God and being scared of Him in that sense. Listen, we understand that we love God and reverence God, but there is the idea of understanding and being humbled before God and understanding that He is in authority over all things, which is the idea of what Cornelius had in his life. And by the way, you understand, it was something that was genuine, and here's why. Because he taught his whole household to do the same. Cornelius wasn't a man that lived out in the public eye one way, but then when he came home, he lived another way. It wasn't Cornelius at all. In fact, it says he gave alms to the people. And we read earlier there in verse number 22, it says, "And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews." And so you understand that when he gave alms to the people, this was also the idea that it included the Jewish people. He treated them kindly versus the typical treatment that Israel received from the Roman Empire. And of course, again, it talks about he prayed always and he fasted and prayed. And we already looked at that. Listen, to be honest with you, I really believe this, that Cornelius's life ought to convict some of us that are saved that don't even have these things in our life. Here's a man that's lost and had this in his life. And listen, there are people today who claim to know Christ as their Savior, yet they have none of this stuff. And even in verse number 4, notice it says, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." And so you understand, it reveals to us, even though he was lost, that God took note of his kindness to his people Israel and his praying. And because of this, God was intervening in his life with this vision to bring him to a place where he could hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. And Cornelius would become the first Gentile in the book of Acts to be born again of the Spirit of God and knowing Christ as his Savior. Now, from all of this, I think that we have to conclude a few things here. Certainly one of those would be this. The obvious one, man is still saved by grace through faith. I think we understand that tonight. The reality is there's still a plethora of religion today that teaches works to appease God. And by the way, that includes many within Christianity. Devout living, religious works like church attendance or baptisms or observing the Lord's Supper, giving alms, even praying, lighting candles. All of these can be found within any mainstream religion today, even within Christendom. But according to Cornelius' testimony, that's not enough, my friend. That's not enough. Baptism isn't enough. Observing the Lord's Supper isn't enough. Confirmation by some denomination, that ain't enough. It's not enough. Even living religiously, it's not enough. Man must have a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And yes, I am declaring from the authority of the Word of God that there is only one way to be saved, and it is through the blood of Jesus Christ, period. In fact, notice there in verse number 38 tonight. Because Peter would get this message. We'll have a couple of weeks from now and we'll see all this. So you'll have forgotten it by then. Don't worry. But in verse number 38, Peter is now at the house of Cornelius. And listen to what he says. He says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins." That's pretty comforting though, isn't it? I mean, come on, if you're saved tonight, it's good to know we got what the Bible says. And what a blessing that is. But here's the second thing tonight I think we can conclude from Cornelius' life. In His great love, God in His great love is working in the lives of men providentially to bring them to this truth of Jesus Christ. I mean, such is the case of Cornelius. And by the way, such is the case of men today. Listen to me tonight. God is not willing that any should perish. but that all would come to repentance. And every one of us tonight who have been saved should be able to look back and even see in our own lives how that God was working to bring us to a place of salvation in Him. I'm just telling you, I know that I can do that in my own life. I can remember as a teenager and even as a young man just before getting saved, laying in my bed at night and struggling with the concept of God and the reality of those things and in myself. But I'm telling you, my friend, God took notice and began to intervene in my life. He would allow me to meet a young lady named Natalie. Glad I met her. But He also allowed me to attend Victory Bible Baptist Church there in Pensacola, Florida, where the man of God would stand up and preach the truth of the gospel. And I'm telling you, my friend, God began to deal with my soul and I got saved because of it. And I can look back now. Listen, I didn't understand it all then. But when my spiritual eyes were opened, when I got saved, and as I began to grow and see the hand of God in my life, no doubt I could look back and see how God was working and orchestrating and bringing me to a place where I could hear the gospel. And what I'm saying to you tonight is that He still works in the lives of men today. There's no such thing as luck or chance unless you play golf or horseshoes. There is a providential hand of God working in the lives of men. And for us who are saved, I'm telling you tonight, that's an encouraging reminder for us. You know what? If you've got lost loved ones, keep praying for them. Because you don't know what the hand of God is doing in their life. And you may not be able to see it at times, but I'm telling you, God is at work. About three people agreed with me on that. I'm saying to you, like, God's at work. And it's about time some of God's people woke up and understood that truth and acted like it. But here's the third thing. Though God is working in the lives of men, please catch this, it is still up to men to see that truth and then come to God on His terms. And this was the difference in Cornelius' life. See, when Peter would come in and give him the truth of the gospel, Cornelius didn't go, "Well, that's not what I've always heard. Well, that's not the way we've done it." That's a pastor's worst nightmare right there. "Well, that's not always the way we've done it, preacher." "Well, good. This is the way we're going to do it now." "Well, that's not what the Romans do with their gods." "Well, this isn't what the Pharisees do with their God." He didn't say any of those things. He humbled himself, realizing that God was working in his life. And Peter came in and gave him the truth of Christ, and he fell on his face and he got saved. Does anybody listen to me tonight? I'm just listening because, my friend, that's the only way that man can be saved today. And I'm just saying to you tonight, there's a reason you're here tonight. There's a reason why you work with somebody or ran into somebody and they invited you to Faith Baptist Church. There's a reason why the bus came by and knocked on your door. There's a reason why you got a track. There's a reason why this is happening in your life, or that's happening, or I'm in the hospital here, or something's going. I'm just telling you, God's trying to get your spiritual attention. Yeah, well, I know, preacher, but you're preaching something tonight. I mean, that's not what Grandma and Grandpa told me. That's not what I heard at the Catholic Church. That's not what I did. Well, that's not what they said down with the Jehovah Witnesses. Is anybody getting this? Well, here's why. Because this is what God said. Amen. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm just telling you that the way that mankind can be saved today is to recognize that God is working in his life to bring him to a place of salvation and then to humble himself and to realize this is how God said to be saved. It's not this way and that way and doing this and doing that. It's all been done on the cross of Calvary. And the way that man is saved is when he falls on his face and calls out to Christ by faith. That's how a man is saved. That's the Bible and what the Word of God says. That's the message that Christ preached, and that's the message that Peter preached, and that's the message that Paul preached, and the list goes on and on and on. And that's the message we preach today. So I'm just saying to you tonight, be good to look at the life of Cornelius and say, hey, have I come to God on His terms? And if not, my friend, I'm telling you, tonight be the night to be saved. Well, preacher, it's Wednesday night. But I'm telling you, I've seen people get saved on Wednesday night. But notice the vision that Peter gives here, or gets. And this one won't take as long as the other one, so don't panic. Verse number 9, it says, but the voice answered me. I'm in chapter 11. Verse number 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, which had been, a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And of course, we know the command, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. And then, of course, in verse 14, he says, in verse number 15, rather, the other command is this, what God hath cleansed, call not thou uncommon. So this is our great God, folks. While He is at work in the life of Cornelius, a lost man, in bringing him to the gospel, He is also at work in the life of Peter, an apostle to the Jews, in preparing him to take the gospel. See. And again, verse 9 there, Peter, we read there, begins to pray. And in verse 10, he became hungry, because that's usually what happens when you start praying. Instead of getting to eat, it says this, that he falls into a trance and he sees a vision. And of course, again, it's a sheet tied at four corners with all kinds of animals. Now, we would obviously say this. It was animals that were forbidden by the Old Testament law for a Jew to eat. Verse 13, Peter hears the command, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But again, notice the response of Peter in verse 14, because Peter would say, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. But God's response in verse 15 is, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common. And again, this was done three times for validation in Peter's life as a true vision of God. You probably could go back to where Peter denied the Lord three times and where the Lord said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep three times. Now, again, let's get back down to our note-taking here. And if you want to write some things down, here's what I wrote down. Now, we understand what God meant by the vision because we know the rest of the story. But here's the idea, and I want you to catch this. Just as God was changing the perception of Cornelius towards Him with a vision, God was changing the perception of Peter towards men with this vision. Folks, so Peter spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus seeing His compassion, both toward the Jew and the Gentile people. Peter's mind was still heavily influenced by the Pharisaical traditions and the law of Moses. The Gentile people were viewed as unclean, common, much like forbidden meats. They weren't even allowed to enter Gentile homes, as you'll see later on in the account. And therefore, God gave this vision to Peter of all types of animals and invited him to eat. Now, I'm just telling you, if I was Peter and understanding how good bacon is, you wouldn't have had to show me three times. It had just been once and I wouldn't even have argued with God. Son, I'd have grabbed in there and I'd have jumped right in that sheet full of it. Anyways, all right. The message, though, simply is this. A man is a man regardless of his nationality, his culture, his race, his creed, or even his sin. Every man is created in the image of God and therefore has a soul, and therefore he or she needs the gospel to be saved. And Peter got the message because look at what he says in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Jew or Gentile. It says, Paul would say in Romans 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." But I want you to catch this tonight, and we're finishing up. Because you see, like Peter, we too have to be careful not to develop unbiblical mindsets towards men. We better be careful, my friend. We better be very careful in putting God in a box and assume that He is only looking for a certain type of people. And then to write others off based on something as shallow as their appearance. Why you say that, preacher? Here's why. Because all men need to be saved. I think certainly we could call to our attention several, or maybe just a couple of principles here. Certainly we could say this, when it comes to culture, the gospel needs to be preached, doesn't it? But come on, I would think this crowd would understand tonight that it doesn't matter your nationality, your culture, your skin color, race of people, the gospel needs to be preached. Listen to me, there's no such thing as an American gospel, an Australian gospel, a Japanese gospel. There's not an Argentine gospel that the Freemans, we heard their update tonight. Listen, no. There's one gospel in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul is a perfect example of this. When he sailed across the Aegean Sea after getting the Macedonian call, he didn't sail across and go, you know, maybe I ought to change it to fit these people a little bit better. No, he didn't do that at all. He just still preached the same message. So it doesn't need to change and it doesn't need to be adapted to any culture. No. It just simply needs to be preached so that it changes men. I think we could also say tonight that when it comes to crimes, meaning sin, the gospel still needs to be preached. And really, I believe this is where the rubber meets the road for you and me. And I want you to catch this tonight, Faith Baptist Church. And please listen to this. And especially with a revival meeting coming up, and maybe, hopefully, Lord willing, having some visitors, I want you to catch this. Just because someone walks in the door looking a certain way and obviously representing a life that is lived unpleasing to God, it does not mean God can't do a work. God is no respecter of persons. And therefore, neither should we be. See? Instead, let me help you with something. Here's what they need. They need to be loved on. I mean, if you want, you know, be careful about shaking hands. They may not feel very loved right now. Let me hug you and give you some Rona. They ought to be welcomed. Come on, they ought to be welcomed. Listen, they ought to be made to feel comfortable to come into church, not necessarily during the preaching. But they ought to be comfortable around God's people. Well, why do you say all these things, preacher? Well, certainly we could say this, because had it not been for the grace of God, there go I. But I think, secondly, we ought to understand this. Who knows what the providential hand of God is doing in their life? So I give you the second thing tonight, and I'm through, and that's the results of the vision. And you and I understand tonight, the results were simply this: change. Come on, Peter, let God change his heart towards men. And he would take the gospel to Cornelius that would change his heart and his life towards God. Even his eternity. And the bottom line is this, folks. God is still in the heart-changing business tonight. Whether you are lost or you are saved. But I'm going to tell you tonight, it's us as God's people that need to wake up and open up and let God change us and do a work in us. And some of us need to let Him change us so that we can be faithful to take the gospel to others around us so that they can be changed. Isn't that good? Well, here's what I wrote down tonight. I just, you know, and you can take it for what it's worth. But listen, here's the questions tonight. Are you a Cornelius tonight who needs to be saved? Or are you a Peter tonight whose perception of men needs to change? I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of this frequently. Because it's so easy to look out there in a lost and dying world that is so vile and wicked and to get so frustrated and angry. But I appreciate what Brother Mallard said when he was here. Amen. And that's that lost man is not our enemy, they're our mission field. And I'm just telling you tonight, we need to be reminded again that our perception towards men, it needs to change. Let's all stand tonight.